Such was the affection for the memory of Thomas Bilney that in later years Thomas More felt it necessary to defend his role in the death of Bilney. He sought to appease those who blamed him by praising Bilney's virtues. He lived well and was a good, honest, virtuous man, far from ambition and desire of worldly worship, chaste, humble and charitable, free and liberal in alms deeds, and a very good preacher, in whose devout sermons the people were greatly edified. It is argued to this day that Thomas Bilney died as much a Roman Catholic in his beliefs as Thomas More himself. From this we are to conclude that Bilney's death was less terrible because he died within the church. It is a strange argument which defends the public burning of a man for heresy on the basis that he was not, after all, a heretic. This lie was fashioned to prolong the life and reputation of Thomas More, not to exonerate the mild and kind-hearted Thomas Bilney. This only shows that while men cannot stand to hear the gospel, they cannot help loving and admiring the fruit of the gospel. They may not want Jesus Christ as their saviour, but they want his servants to be their neighbours and friends. Bilney removed his jacket and doublet, leaving only his hose and shirt, the underclothes of the period. A chain was tied around his waist to hold him against the stake. Dr. Warner bid farewell to his friend. Bilney replied, "O Master Doctor, feed your flock, that when the Lord cometh he may find you so doing. Farewell, good Master Doctor, and pray for me." As Dr. Warner stepped back, a group of friars came to the foot of the stake. Bilney could not fail to recognize them as the witnesses for the prosecution, those whose evidence of heresy had condemned him to death. They approached the stake to beg Bilney to exonerate them. "O Master Bilney, the people are persuaded that we are the causes of your death, and that we have procured it, and it is likely that they will withdraw their charitable alms from us all, except you declare your charity towards us and discharge us of the matter." The people evidently had great affection for their little Bilney, that the friars felt so worried about the potential loss of earnings. Even at this late hour, at the supposed death of a heretic, the priests were only anxious to secure their future earnings. And Bilney, with touching simplicity, did not deny them. "I pray you, good people, be never the worse to these men for my sake, as though they should be the authors of my death. It was not they." Reeds and faggots were laid around the stake. The reeds were lit. Dr. Warner could not bring himself to stay, but Matthew Parker, another dear friend from the White Horse Inn, stayed to the end. As the fire licked, Bilney held up his hands and beat his own breast. The only words which reached the ears of others were "Jesus" and "Credo, I believe." As Bilney stood in the flames, a gust of wind whipped up and blew the flame away from him. This happened once, twice, three times, prolonging the end. But finally the flames reached the wood and burned fiercely. Bilney fell forward under the chain to speak no more on the earth. A guard knocked him forward into the flame to quicken death, but perhaps Bilney was already beyond pain and with his master. So passed Thomas Bilney from this world to the next. He had not the natural courage or physical vigour of Prior Barnes, but God uses the weak to confound the strong. Had Robert Barnes been the first public martyr of the Reformation in England, some might have thought that by his own strength and stubbornness he had died. But in Bilney, physically weak and very fallible, God was glorified. The little figure who had moved among the poor and lepers, the convicted and insane, had faced a cruel death and was more than conqueror through Jesus Christ alone.